I am very thankful that the Lord God had made man, as was read in your hearing this morning in Genesis, the second chapter. And as we have looked at that, we realize that after man had was made by God, that God planted a garden, and in that garden He had created many trees that grew and were pleasant in the sight and good for food. And of course, man was able to partake of those trees freely. And of course, then he created the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that was in that garden, and warned them very clearly, do not eat of it, for the day in which you do eat of it, you shall surely die. And we know that they did partake of that fruit. Well, they saw that fruit, and of course, they died spiritually and eventually physically. Well, the world has been going on that track ever since day one, ever since God cast them out of the garden because of their sin. The world has been on a downward spiral, and our eyes are open to the world right now, and we realize these things are very clearly portrayed and very clearly seen by anyone who has eyes to see. But we also know that not everyone does have eyes to see, and I think we should all be very, very thankful that our God, when He made man, He didn't make man without eyes. And that's clearly noticed in the third chapter of Genesis chapter 3, where we're told that Eve saw that fruit, that it was pleasing to her eyes. We know that God put that tree of knowledge and of good and evil in the garden. We know that they saw those other trees. And so our God didn't make us blind, although many people are spiritually blinded today who do not walk in obedience to God's word, and they walk in the ways of the world, as it is said. And Peter reminds us, and we'll look at this in a moment, how important it is to realize that this world is walking in dissipation, drunkenness, and rivalry, and filthiness. And it is just absolutely mind-boggling when you look at what's going on around us. And listen, as Christians, if you read that bulletin today, you must understand these things are far more than what was listed in that little bulletin. It would take 15 or 20 bulletins that size to elaborate on all of the horrible things that are going on in our world today, in our schools, in our government, both the local government, the state government, the federal government, in the world itself. And so we need to have our eyes open. We can't walk around with our eyes shut. And so that's the way God made us. He made us with eyes that see. He made us with eyes that can be wide open. That's how God created Adam and Eve, and that's how we have been ever since that day. We can see the love of God with open eyes, or we can focus on the filth of this world with open eyes, but nothing is hidden from our sight. And our scripture tells us very clearly, God showed them everything, and therefore they had free will, they had free choice. It wasn't something that God kept from them. They were not made like robots, a conversation I had the other day. We are made to be able to see what's going on. And so we want to keep that in mind as we study through this lesson today. God gave us discernment. As we study the scriptures, Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and at verse 5, he who keeps his commandments will experience nothing harmful for himself, and a wise man discerns both good and evil. He discerns both time and judgment. And that's something that we want to remember. We weren't born without eyes. In Malachi chapter 3 and at verse 18, then you shall again, look at what it says, discern between righteousness and the wicked, between the righteous and the wicked. discerning. It's a, you know, Hebrew word there in that particular text. It means simply to see plainly, to discern. So then you shall again discern between righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve God. You see a parallel there. Righteous, wicked, serves God, does not serve God. Then you can read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. That's the wicked. They don't receive the things of the Spirit of God. The wicked people have their own spirit. The words that come out of their mouth are coming from their own hearts, from their own wickedness. And this world is full of wicked people who are devising wicked, horrible, unimaginable, unspeakable things to teach our young people. That is not the Spirit of God. Our God is holy. Our God is righteous. Our God is true. Our God wants us to see the right path because He loves us. The world receives the things of the spirit of man, not the Spirit of God. The things that are of the Spirit of God to the world are foolishness to the world. And he can't know them. And why? Because they are spiritually discerned. They have their own spirit. They have the spirit of the world. Everything they say comes from them. It comes from within. It does not come from God's word. And you listen to me, there are two spirits in this world. Only two spirits. There's the spirit of good and there's the spirit of evil. There's the spirit of truth and there's the spirit of lies. There's only two spirits. And listen, if you say something and you can't find that in the Word of God, then you're talking of the spirit of the world. Your eyes aren't open to God. Your eyes are open to the world. God gave us the Spirit. He gave us the truth of the Spirit. He gave us the Word, that all that pertains unto life and godliness is right here for us. The Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The Word of God is true and righteous. Altogether, listen to me, two spirits. And if we have eyes that see the one spirit of the world, that's not from God. And it's foolishness. And if our eyes see the Word of God, if our eyes are able to hear His voice, and our hearts are not hardened as in the rebellion, as is spoken of in Hebrews chapter 3, then we have the Spirit of God and the Spirit of truth. And it can be validated. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, as Jesus put it, it can all be validated. It can all be shown. It can all be explained. It can all be proven true. And so we need to be careful not to be those who are spiritually discerned, who are not able to understand the words of God. That's called free will, and that's what God gave us. He gave the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and Adam and Eve had a choice. They didn't choose wisely. They didn't choose to hear and believe the commandment of God. There's a path in which they could take. They could turn aside to God and they could turn aside to the devil. They could turn to the Creator of all things, that good God, that God that they knew face to face. God walked with them in the garden. He gave them every good thing that they could possibly need for life. He protected them. And they chose to listen to the word of the devil rather than the word of the Creator. You know, if only Adam and Eve, this is one of those what if things. We always say, well, what? Oh, it would be so great. What if they had never ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? What if that never happened? What would it be like? Such a glorious thing, the Garden of Eden. No sin. We wouldn't have to wear clothes. We wouldn't even know we were naked. We would be able to partake of all that fruit. We would be nourished daily, and we would be able to walk with God. Wow. But we can't. We can't. Because when sin entered the world, they knew they were naked. They even covered themselves. But that wasn't enough. And later you read that God made clothing for them. Sin entered the world. And they lost that eternal life that was theirs. And that eternal life is still ahead of every one of us who are in this room today. And that eternal life can be ours if we put on some goggles, or better yet, we put on blinders. Now, the word blinders, according to Webster's, they're two flaps on a horse's bridle. Keep them from seeing objects on its side. The horse goes down the road, they don't see that snake. They don't see that dog or the cat or the thing that might spook the horse. And they also can be a limitation or an obstruction to sight and discernment. One's a positive, one's a negative. Two kinds here. And listen again, this world is full of things we don't want to see. Things that we don't want to do. Choices we need to make to do what is right in the sight of God and not in the sight of man. And that's where we want to base our lesson today. There are benefits to having spiritual blinders. And we use those to protect us, to keep us on that straight and narrow path. They keep us in the truth. You know, a lot of people in this world today are religious, but they have on religious blinders that are actually blinding them from the truth. Boy, as soon as I was baptized, they gave me these nifty little blinders. And then they get taught lies. They get taught by false teachers. Things that you can't validate in God's Word, so you know they're not true. We're saved by faith and faith only. We are saved by faith through grace, or through we are saved by grace through faith, the Scripture says. Not saved by faith only. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace. That's a lie. Baptism now saves us, 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism washes away our sins, Acts 22:16. Baptism is the only way you can get into the church, the body of Christ, Acts 2:42. And they have these religious blinders that allow them to listen to their leaders, listen to their preachers, listen to their evangelists, listen to their Sunday school teachers and everybody else who teaches them what is true. And it can't be validated. That's the blinders of the world. But the only one that is valid is Jesus Christ Himself. He's the one through His Word that gives us blinders. And when you wear the blinders of God, then the people out there, they're going to be really surprised. They're going to be totally surprised because you don't run around with them in the same dissipation, in the drunkenness, in the filthiness of the world. Because you think it's wrong to teach our children about types of fornication and 10 years old and younger. You think it might be wrong to tell our children that they aren't really males, that they're females, that they can wear dresses and go into girls' bathrooms, and when a girl is raped in a bathroom wearing by a boy wearing a dress, and the school says that's okay. not that bad. And those blinders are powerful. But the world says, oh no, if you have a problem with that, you got a problem. You're the problem. Because you don't see things their way. And it's only going to get worse. You listen to me, it's only going to get worse. You know what the Bible tells us about these blinders? It's really through Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. Jesus is the only leader, the head of the church. He is the only blessed potentate, the supreme sovereign, King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus in Luke 8:24 is our master. He is the head of the church, Colossians 1:18. And he is the one who built the church, Matthew chapter 16:18. Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. That's who we need to be wearing. Spiritual blinders. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, Jesus describes a wide and a narrow gate. That wide gate leads to destruction. Many come, many will enter. They're wearing blinders that keep them from seeing truth. And then he talks about the narrow gate, which is difficult. Narrow, straight, difficult. Many will come and few will enter because the many are wearing those blinders that keep them from discerning good and evil. And those who are wearing the spiritual blinders are the ones who can see that gate, who enter through that gate. Because those blinders, God's word is protecting them. And it keeps them on that narrow and difficult path. Spiritual blinders. They keep us on the right path. They help us to see truth and ignore all the sinfulness, all the error. To keep ourselves focused on the Spirit of God, which is validated by the Word of God, rather than the spirit of error. You know, you consider John, 1 John rather, chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Think about what he says there. John is pointing out that there are going to be, in verses 1 through 3, there are going to be false prophets. He calls them, you know, they're the antichrists. There's many of them. And he says, I want you to discern with me, and the word you there refers to the members of the church, the body of Christ, the saints, the ones who are the called out ones. That's who the letter was written to. The word they, in verse 5, you have to go all the way back to chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2, and you can read who they are. And the we, in verse 6, refers to the apostles. In the beginning, they were there. They heard, they saw, they touched, they handled the things concerning the word of life. They were with Jesus. These blinders that we who are the members of the body of Christ help us to hang on to, help us to see the spirit of truth, and to be able to protect us from the spirit of error. And that's what really makes a difference. Spirit of truth as opposed to the spirit. Now, as we look at this, we're seeing blinders as though they were armor, right? They teach us a truth and righteousness, the gospel of peace, the gospel of the faith that we have through the gospel that we all may know and stand up against error, stand up against the devil, knowing and discerning between what is true and what is not true. For example, idolatry. We look at some of this and we think about this. It's all around us. Adultery, lies, fornication, even abortion, which is murder. And people who have these worldly blinders on, they don't have a problem with lying. They don't have a problem with idolatry. They don't have a problem with adultery. You know, there's read article after article. Oh, a little adultery is good for a marriage. If the lie can get you ahead, if the lie can stop somebody from feeling bad, go ahead and lie. Fornication, not a problem. We teach it to kindergartners on up. Abortion, which is murder, not a problem. That's not a child, that's a thing. It's a blob. It's my body, right? My choice. So, as we look at these, we're empowered by the Spirit of God to know the truth, and the truth will make us free. You know, you read Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, and it's just absolutely... Paul says in Romans chapter 8, if you'll turn there with me, he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." There's the two. You have the blinders of Christ, which is the Spirit, and the blinders of the flesh, which is of the world. And if you're walking according to the Spirit, there's no condemnation. And if you read the joy in verse 37 through 39, "Yet in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, neither height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And I'm telling you, it's because you have on spiritual blinders that are protecting you from everything that's evil and wicked. Blinders that keep us from worldliness and guide us by the Spirit, so that we don't fulfill the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, 1 John 2 and 16. Think about this. You know, in the Scriptures, in Jesus, in John 4 and 24, He told that woman at the well that the day is coming, that God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And when you really dig into that, when Jesus said God is Spirit, what He was telling that woman and every Jew at that time, that men worship God in a physical sense today. You know, the way that they wear their clothing, the lamps and the burning of the candles and the incense and the burning of the animal sacrifices, but because God is Spirit, we no longer have to do those physical things anymore. We don't have to have a temple to enter into and have a courtyard for the women and for the men and for the priests and ultimately the altar of God in the Holy of Holies. We don't need any of that, because we worship God who is Spirit in spirit. That's what that means. And then when you think about truth, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, one of my favorite verses, Paul's talking to those new converts and he says to them, "For this reason I thank God without ceasing." Because when you receive the Word of God which you heard from us, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which works effectively in those who believe. There's your spiritual blinders. They believe the Word of God was true. We believe the Word of God is true. Jesus said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Thy Word is truth." John 17 and 17. The psalmist in 18 and verse 30, he says, "The Word of the Lord is flawless." Some examples. When we think about this, you know, one example happened to us years ago. My granddaughter, I think she was about 1 year old. We went over to babysit, and boy, she just wasn't allowed to wander around and go up the steps, because we knew that if she went up the steps, she'd probably fall down and get hurt. And so we put up a gate. Protect her. You know, the idea of that gate is like our blinders. They're designed to protect us. We didn't want her to be moved away from or forced not to be able to be enlightened or see great things that were upstairs. It was just to prevent her from falling, not prevent her from seeing the truth. It was to protect her. Another example, real life example. We've all seen signs like this. And in this particular case, a 17-year-old boy named Jesus Meneses died because he jumped over the fence trying to get his basketball. He ignored the signs and he died. Now, the signs are everywhere in our world. We can read it in the newspaper, watch it on the news, all these horrible, terrible things, and we need not to be a people who ignore those things and just let them pass by. We need to be a voice of God, a light in the darkness. We need to be like John the Baptist, wandering in this dark and evil wilderness and sharing the love of God, teaching the truth wherever we go. Helping people to see the one way, the one truth, the one life that leads us to the Father in heaven. That Christ is our propitiation for our sins. That He died for our sins. That His blood can wash away our sins as we obey Him. As we're baptized into Christ, added to the church, and then we live in humbleness. We ignore the signs going on all around us. We live day to day without even paying attention. And then we wake up one day and our sons will be wearing dresses. Our girls will be getting abortions without hesitation. Children are going to be taught in school at an early age that you're not a boy, you're a girl. The worldly blinders keep us from seeing the sin. They keep us from the truth. Some biblical examples quickly, David and Bathsheba. If you turn your Bibles to Samuel chapter 11, and you remember what really took place there. 2 Samuel chapter 11, David's up on his rooftop. And boy, what happens to David? He sees a woman out there bathing, and her name is Bathsheba, and he desires her. 2 Samuel chapter 11. He wanted her, and he needed, and he decided to sin. That's what happened. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, though, David would have known something. He would have known that that was sinful to covet your neighbor's wife. Uriah's wife, David coveted. He desired her. He would have known in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 20, that lying with another woman, carnality, is a sin. He would have known that. In Deuteronomy 22 and verse 22, David would have known that if a man was lying with another man's wife, both shall die. David would have known that. 1 Samuel 11, verse 2 and 4, from that rooftop he saw her. You see, David would have known this. If David were able to be spiritual about these things, he would have had that Spirit of God in him and he wouldn't have ignored it. He wouldn't have put on the blinders that stopped him from seeing the truth and let him walk in the spirit of error. David would have done that. That's what would have happened. Those spiritual blinders would have kept him from that sin. And then, you know, David lies to Joab. Lying is a sin, is it not? You shall not bear false witness. You shall not steal, nor bear false witness, nor lie. David would have known those things. But yet David involved Joab in his lies. to seek Uriah so that he could sleep with Uriah's wife. David knew that. So David put on the spiritual blinders. That's what he needed to do. David got Uriah drunk. He would have known from the account of Noah that didn't turn out very well. He would have known that. He would have known that Noah was drunk. David would have known all about that. He would have known how what happened to Lot and his daughters because of alcohol. All he had to do is put on the blinders and see truth. That's all you had to do. And then, of course, David commits murder. He would have known, thou shalt not murder. He would have understood that Greek word or Hebrew word murder. He would have known that it meant with intent. He planned that murder. Whoever kills any man shall surely die. He'll be put to death. Whoever sheds man's blood. David would have known that. All he had to do was put on the spiritual blinders. That's all he had to do. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 18, if you remember, Nathan comes to David. He tells him a story about a man who has a little ewe lamb that he loved very much, loved it like a daughter, and a rich man comes along. He's got all kinds of lambs and livestock, but he goes out and he kills that man's little ewe lamb. And when Nathan said that, David said to him, that man, you know, he's surely going to die. And Nathan said, you're the man. Remember that? David says, oh, I've sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said, because you did this deed, you have caused great occasion for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme the Lord. And because of that, if you remember in verse 15 that Uriah, because he killed Uriah's wife, in verse 18, his first child born between him and Bathsheba died. Think about those things. We should be asking, what does the Scripture say? What is acceptable to God in His sight? That's what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1. We need to prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. And as we do that, what we're doing is wearing spiritual blinders. We need, with spiritual blinders, if we're walking the right path, then we don't forsake the assembly. We when we love one another with love, we're keeping God's commandments. We're not wearing the worldly blinders. We're wearing the blinders of God. When we're steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, we're wearing spiritual blinders, not the blinders of the world. You know, it's a will of God that everybody's busy working in the church, in the kingdom. We talked about in this Sunday school class this morning how important it is, all those one another things and working together in the Lord's kingdom. Not being too busy, not making excuses. We are wearing spiritual blinders when we are diligent to study God's word, to present ourselves approved to God. Not being ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. When we pray a lot, pray without ceasing, praying for the needy saints, praying for the lost, praying for the sick, praying for the shut-ins, praying for ourselves, and finally, when we obey Jesus, all these things are signs that we are wearing spiritual blinders. When we don't walk in the way of the world, when we don't walk in lust and lewdness and drunkenness and fornication and idolatry, when we don't do those things and the world thinks it's strange, we're wearing spiritual blinders. When I have a problem with what's being taught in the world today, when I have a problem with the shows that are being shown today and the books, oh, the books. If you read the bulletin today, the books that are being presented to children. I think God would strike me down right here dead if I used the words and the language that are in those books, the images that they're showing young children today in schools. And I'm thankful that the Lord gave me spiritual blinders so that I don't have to look at those things. I don't have to have those things in my mind and they're not going to affect me. But what of our children? The Lord's will is that we do what's right in the sight of our children. We need to live for the Lord, not for our own pleasures. 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, by this we know that we are of the truth. How do we know that? Because that truth assures our hearts before God. That if our heart condemns us, if we're participating in these worldly things, if we are constantly inundated with worldly things, if we make decisions based on worldly things, if we choose more worldly than godly, then our heart will condemn us. We just look in the mirror. We're not foolish people. Galatians 6, 7 and 8, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, so also shall he reap. When you sow to corruption, then you reap corruption. But when you sow to eternal life, you reap everlasting life. Sow to the Spirit. You'll know. Look in that perfect law of liberty. You'll know, you'll know, you'll know. Jesus came to give light to the world. To those who sit in darkness. And the shadow of death. He did that to guide our feet. Think of these things. They're guiding us in the right way, the true way, the spiritual way. They're telling us this world is wicked and evil, that you got to redeem the time. The days are evil. The devil is there. His influence is in the world. And he wants you to take off your spiritual blinders, to just let a little bit of the world's light in. Live it up a little bit. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's what he wants. But those blinders are to guide our feet into the way of peace. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 5. Oh, Lord, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Psalm 89 and verse 15. The psalmist says, blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. Spiritual blinders. John, 1 John 1 and 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Spiritual blinders. The entrance of your word gives light, the psalmist says. It gives understanding to the simple. Psalm 119 and 130. Spiritual blinders. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 105, and verse 106, an unfamiliar, I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. Spiritual blinders. Romans chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. God will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing well seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Listen, those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but they obey unrighteousness. The ones that are wearing the world's blinders. Indignation and wrath and tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil. You think about that world out there and be afraid. Be afraid. Be afraid like Paul, who said that was the reason. They understood the great condemnation, and so they preached Christ. Glory and honor and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. There's no partiality with God. If you put on the spiritual blinders, you walk that right path, then it's clear. You'll have the peace. You'll have eternal life. And you'll be in God's good grace. The world will hate you just like they hated Jesus. But you don't worry about the world. You teach what is right to everyone you come in contact with, and somebody comes and opposes what is right, you just put them on the right track if you can. Maybe they have ears to hear, maybe they don't. But what's important for each and every one of us is we look into the mirror of our soul, the Word of God, the Word of the law of liberty, James chapter 1 and verse 25, and you'll know if you're walking with spiritual blinders, or if your blinders are frayed, or maybe they're set too far back, and you kind of have a little bit of protection, but then you take on a little bit of filth. You know. You know. And listen, on the day of judgment, there's no place for excuses. You know, Romans chapter 2, and in verse 5, talks about hardness of hearts, impenitent hearts, storing up treasures for themselves for the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And it makes me think about diamonds. You know, we think diamonds, that's the hardest substance, the material known to man. Well, it's not. There's a substance called lodestone, which is a type of a diamond that is caused by meteorites that contain this graphic kind of substance that strike the earth, and it's harder than a diamond. And then there's something called wurtzite, which is even harder than that, which is born out of volcanic eruptions. Pretty hard stuff. And sometimes I think we let our hearts get really hard, harder than those three things. Because we love the world and the things of the world, and we're unwilling to yield and be obedient to God. We're unwilling to let the Word of God dwell in us richly and guide our footsteps. And people, we need to do that. If you've looked at yourself in the mirror, even today, even right now, if you've noticed that your blinders aren't of God, that you're still kind of caught up in the world, that you haven't obeyed Jesus Christ, you haven't believed that He is the Son of God, you haven't repented of your sins, and you have not been baptized into Christ, to put on Christ, to have your sins washed away, to be added to the body of Christ, today's the day to do that. If you need to repent, today is the day to do that. You look in the mirror of your soul right now. Don't wait till you get home and do it. Don't wait till you get in your car in the parking lot and do it. Don't wait till you get back in the foyer there and decide, well, let me think about this. Do it right now. Look at yourself in the mirror of your soul. And if you need to change something, brethren, we sing a song called the Song of Invitation. And what that means is when we sing this song, 617, A New Creature, you can do that today. All you have to do is come forward now as we stand and as we sing.